This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Daniel spent nearly 70 years in the service of the Babylonian Empire. Now he's become a part of the Persian Empire. When Daniel sits down to pray, he receives a message from God through the angel Gabriel. What does God's message to Daniel mean to us today? Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon from Daniel chapter 9 titled, When Angels Speak. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
When we come to chapter 9, this is probably for me one of the most intimidating texts of Scripture, the text that we're looking at this morning. I'm going to say a few words about that text, but let me just kind of give you a little preview of what my week was like this week and really the months that I've been looking at this text, because I knew this text was coming. I began reading about this months ago, trying to get my head around the verses that we're going to talk about this morning. I counted up my commentaries that I've been kind of looking at to kind of help me navigate through this book, and there are more than 30 of them that I use, not every single one on a weekly basis, but many of them. And as I kind of pulled them all out and kind of read what they had to say about this text, everybody had a different opinion. So it was the most unhelpful exercise that I could think. One of the commentators was extraordinarily helpful to me. He said, these texts are the dismal swamp of the Old Testament. I'm like, oh, great. I'm heading into the swamp. Another commentator who I really like said, these verses are the most difficult verses in the Old Testament. That was very encouraging to me this week. So I hope this morning, as we go through the text, we can make sense of what Daniel has to say. I'm going to work very, very hard this morning to give you what the text says and what the text means. And when there are personal opinions, and there will be more than normal this week just because of the nature of the text and having to land somewhere, I want to make sure you know where my opinions are and where the authority of the text is. Because my opinions do not constitute the authority of the text. And you didn't come here this morning to hear my opinions. You came here this morning to hear the Lord. And every once in a while, when we're forced to make sort of an opinion decision, you need to know where those lines are, so you have the ability then to kind of separate that out from what the Lord has actually authoritatively said to all of us. Fair enough? Okay, this morning when we come to the text and we look at these verses, let me give you four sort of opening ideas that will kind of help you set your mind to how we're going to do this. I want you to notice, as you've been thinking about the book of Daniel, that this revelation comes after 15 years of meditation. Daniel has been thinking about what God is going to give him for 15 years. If you go all the way back to chapter 7, remember that's how the second half of the book opens, you find out that in chapter 7, Daniel gets a vision in which he gets insight about four major empires who are going to have control over and are going to more often than not oppress his people Israel. And Daniel got that revelation in the first year of Belshazzar's reign. We met Belshazzar all the way back in chapter 5. He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the first major king of the first kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. That's the kingdom Daniel spent his entire life in. That's the kingdom that Jeremiah told him to pray for. That's where God said to his people, you're to settle down, you're to build houses, and you're to pray for the welfare of the city. And they were talking about, or Jeremiah was talking to them about, the welfare of Babylon. And so back in chapter 7, 15 years earlier, Daniel gets this stunning vision. 3 years later, in chapter 8, Daniel gets part 2 of that vision. And in part 2 of the vision, he looks ahead and he sees that of those four empires, two of them are going to come into focus. The empire that comes immediately after Babylon is Persia. And the thing that God wants Daniel to know is that that empire is going to be very powerful, it's going to be very big, and it is going to be very brief. It is going to be tumbled down by an empire, the third empire, that is going to dominate the world, and it is going to be led by a young general, a young sort of strong leader, and we know historically that that was Alexander the Great. And during that period of time, Daniel, which is far ahead of your time, during that period of time, at the end of that third kingdom, there's going to be a wicked ruler that's going to come up, and he is going to desecrate the temple. And he's going to defile it. And he's going to do terrible things to your people, and then he's going to be cut off. And we noted that that ruler came out of the third kingdom. Now, all of that was future for Daniel, but it's history for us. And we can go back historically, and we did, and we looked at that third kingdom, and we noted in history that during that period of time, almost parallel, almost exactly like the details in Daniel, there was a wicked king named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he came up and he defiled the temple. Now, we noted something. We noted that when Daniel received that vision in the third year of Belshazzar's reign, he was still in the Babylonian kingdom, and there was still no temple. But by the end of the third kingdom, there is a temple. It has been rebuilt. And as we read our Bibles, we start realizing that during the reign of Cyrus the Great, he issued a decree to a man named Zerubbabel to go back to the land and start to rebuild the temple. That happened in 538 BC. Later, almost 90 years later, there is a king who is still in that kingdom, in the Persian kingdom, named Artaxerxes. And he issues a second decree to a man named Ezra. And he tells Ezra to go back and to continue the rebuilding of that temple. And 20 years later, Artaxerxes, the same king, issues a final decree, and he tells a man named Nehemiah to go back, and this time there's nothing to do with the temple. This isn't about the temple anymore. Cyrus had something to do with the temple. Zerubbabel, go back and rebuild the temple. And Artaxerxes, in his first decree, told Ezra, go back and rebuild the temple. Here are supplies for that. But the third time we have a decree, the second decree of Artaxerxes, he said to Nehemiah, you go back and rebuild the city. And that's going to be very important for us in our text. So this revelation came after 15 years of meditation. Daniel has been deeply troubled by what he heard and what he saw in these two visions. And the thing that troubled him is that he knew that there were 70 years of captivity that God had decreed for his people, and he could do the math. Those 70 years were up. And after 70 years, God had said to Jeremiah, you tell my people I'm going to bring them back to the land, I'm going to restore them, I'm going to bless them. And as he is reading what he's hearing in these visions, he's realizing they're going to go back to the land, but it is going to be very, very difficult and very, very troubling, and there's going to be a great deal of persecution, and the new temple that is going to be rebuilt is actually going to be defiled. And Daniel is deeply troubled by this. He can't reconcile what he read in Jeremiah with what he saw in the visions. Now, you say, why is that so important for us? Have you ever come to the scripture and tried to reconcile things? Have you ever been in a place where, as you read one portion of Scripture and you came to another, they didn't seem to reconcile together and it troubled you or it bothered you. Have you ever been there? That's one occasion where we are troubled like Daniel was troubled. But even more than that, sometimes we read a portion of Scripture that is clear. It talks about the blessing of God that God has promised in our life. And then we see the unfolding of how God's will for our life is, and it doesn't seem to include that blessing. And we pray, and we wait, even as we sang this morning, and we look to the Lord. And Daniel did this for 15 years. And as he gets this vision, God is going to affirm to him the promises are true, but the future is hard. The promises are true, but the future is hard. So this revelation comes after 15 years of meditation and consideration. This revelation was given as a result of an extended, fervent period of prayer. Daniel has been praying repeatedly. We know that he was a man of prayer. We saw that in chapter 6. We saw that back in chapter 2. But here in chapter 9, we see the actual content of his praying. And as you come to our text, there's a little detail in the text, and the detail has to do about the timing of his praying. The timing of his praying is in verse 21. He came, the angel came to Daniel as he was praying at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Sam. There's no temple. The temple was destroyed many years earlier, 70 plus years earlier, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. There's no temple. There hasn't been a sacrifice offered at the evening for decades. But Daniel, in a pagan land, has a heart that is so oriented to God, it is so wrapped up, it is so flavored by the purposes of God, that he prays in rhythms that were in Jerusalem. In other words, here's a man in Babylon whose life, whose spiritual life, is being controlled by the rhythms that God had set in Jerusalem. What a tremendous testimony for us. Isn't that true? We live in a modern day Babylon, but our heart, our life, our spirit should be flavored by the rhythms that are true for the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what we see here. Thirdly, this revelation is of such importance and significance that God sent the angel Gabriel to deliver it. This is the only time in the Scripture, there are only two angels that are named in Scripture, and this is one of them. And Gabriel has a unique ministry to the people of God. And Gabriel in the Scripture has a unique ministry with relationship to the coming and the ministry of Messiah. He's the one who announces to Zechariah. He's the one who announces to Luke, or in Luke rather, to Joseph, and he's the one that comes to Mary. And every time Gabriel shows up with revelation for God's people, it has to do with the Messiah. And so this is extraordinarily important revelation. And we know about its importance because we're going to find out in chapter 10 that Gabriel was opposed. In other words, when he came to give this stunning revelation, there were demonic forces that opposed him, that came against him. Do you realize, folks, that there is a spiritual realm, and the ones who rule in that realm are determined that the revelation of God not get to your heart? Have you ever wondered why you can keep your attention on a ball game? Or have you ever wondered why you can get just so lost in a book that you stay up all night and read the book? But when it comes to reading God's word, it's like you can hardly keep your attention. Have you ever wondered why? And I think the book of Daniel maybe gives us a little bit of insight. I want to be real careful how I say this, but I'm convinced that there are moments in our lives where the enemy of God, the demonic forces of God, are doing all they can to keep the revelation of God from coming into your heart, from its understanding shaping your thinking, and from its application shaping your living. And so you see that here. And then finally, this revelation is among the most difficult and debated passages in the Scripture, and I've already kind of mentioned that to you. So how do we go at a text like this? Well, let me suggest to you that we can go at a text like this by looking at it from four perspectives. And so I want to do that this morning. When an angel came to speak, Daniel was made strong by that word. And so I want to take Gabriel's revelation to us this morning, and I'm going to ask the Lord that he would use it to strengthen us like he strengthened Daniel. So that's the goal this morning, and we're going to try to accomplish that goal by looking at four different vantage points. So think about it. If we were looking at sort of a documentary, the camera angles would be from four perspectives. And so let's start this morning by looking at the plain things in the text. There are things that are just plain. They're boldly stated, and they're sitting right there in the text. And so beginning in verse 24, let me just sort of introduce the plain things this way. Daniel is told by Gabriel, 70 weeks have been decreed or ordained, this is verse 24, for your people and for your holy city. And then what follows are the things that are going to happen in that theological time frame. In other words, this is literal time, this is historical time, but this is theologically significant time. And so there are things that God is telling Daniel are going to happen with relationship to Israel and with relationship to Jerusalem and with relationship to the temple. And so what are the things that Gabriel tells Daniel are going to happen? Well, in verse 25, the glorious city will be rebuilt. You can see that in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, literally to the coming of a Messiah, a prince, the word prince there means leader, ruler, there is a Messiah ruler. Our alarm bells ought to be going off. Isaiah talked about a son, and the government would be on his shoulders, and his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, what? What's the next one? Prince or ruler of peace. And here we find that reference sort of coming front and center. Micah chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 tell us that this ruler is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so there is going to come a glorious ruler. And when he comes in verse 26, he is going to come after a period of time. And during that period of time, the glorious city will have been rebuilt, but it will have been rebuilt in a time of difficulty. And so we need to talk about that for a minute. I already mentioned to you those three times in Scripture where a word goes out, a decree goes out from a king. We talked about Cyrus the Great in 538 giving a word to Zerubbabel, and this is probably a decree that Daniel helped him to write. And he says to Zerubbabel, take people with you, take resources with you, and go back to the glorious city and rebuild the temple. And 90 years later, that had been done. But the temple needed to be beautified, and so in 458 BC, a future king, Artaxerxes, says to another man in our Bible, the man Ezra, and you can read all about that in the book of Ezra, you go back and you beautify the temple that has been built, and you reestablish the worship of God in that temple that Zerubbabel built. So decree number one, go back and rebuild the temple. Decree number two, Ezra, go back and reestablish the worship and reestablish the Torah from that temple. And then the decree that we talked about from Artaxerxes 20 years later to Nehemiah, it's the only decree in the Bible that matches what we're reading here, where there is a word that goes out for the rebuilding of the temple, I'm sorry, of the city. And when you read Nehemiah, there's a small part of the city that is rebuilt. The walls are built in a time of difficulty, and the walls are rebuilt around that small part of the city in 52 days, but it is going to take 5 decades for the entire city to be rebuilt. And if you've ever been over to Israel, you can see Nehemiah's walls and where that was. And so there is a city that will be rebuilt. There is a Messiah that will come, and he will be anointed, and then he will be cut off. And the word cut off there is the idea for slaughtered. He will be brutally executed. And then the third thing we read in this text, there is a nation, there is a people who belong to a coming priest, or a coming ruler rather. There is a coming ruler, and the people of his nation are going to destroy the city a second time. It's already been destroyed in Daniel's historical past. It's going to be rebuilt in the time of Nehemiah, but when Messiah finally comes, and after he's cut off, the nation of a ruler yet to come is going to come in and destroy that city. Can you think of a time in your memory of history when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed entirely for the second time? You remember what year that was? AD 70. It was 40, almost 40 years after Jesus lived. In fact, Jesus predicted the destruction of this city. Now, it's very interesting how the text says a people of a coming prince. It is not the coming prince that does the destroying, it's the people of his nation. And what nation was in power when Jesus was on the earth? It was the nation of Rome, the fourth empire. And so you have the people, the nation of a coming ruler destroying the holy city again, and then you have this wicked prince who appears, he deceives, he makes desolate, he defiles, he persecutes, and then he himself at the end in verse 28 is absolutely destroyed by a decree. Someone has decreed an end to all of this. And when that moment arrives, that wicked prince, whoever he is, who has been defiling and deceiving and destroying, is himself going to be destroyed in a moment. All right? So those are the plain things. Those are the things that nobody disputes. So that's the first lens. If we step back now and move the camera just a little bit, there's a second focus that I want us to see, and that is the main thing. There are plain things in the text, and then there is a main thing that this whole revelation centers on, and it's in verse 24. It's when Gabriel says to Daniel, Daniel, there are 70 years, or 70 weeks, actually. There are 70 weeks of years. It's how the text reads, seven sevens. There are 70 weeks of years decreed for your people. And we just saw the four main plain things that happened, rather, the plain things. And now Gabriel says, let me tell you about the main thing that's going to happen. This is the main thing, and this is where the heart of the text is. When this Messiah comes, there are six divine things that you have been longing for since Genesis 3. Your heart has been hungry for things that have been lost in your life, in our world, since Genesis 3. And Daniel gets a word of strength from an angel, and he says, now Daniel, when this anointed Messiah appears, everything your heart longs for, everything God has promised you, is going to be fulfilled.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.